And Jesus said unto them, I am the bread of life. He that cometh to me shall never hunger, and he that believeth on me shall never thirst. But I said unto you, that ye also have seen me, and believe not. And all that the Father giveth me shall come to me, and him that cometh to me I will no wise cast out. For I have come from heaven, not to do my own will, but the will of him that sent me. And this is the Father's will which has sent me, that all of which he has given me, I should lose nothing, but should raise it up again in the last day. And this is the will of him that sent me, that everyone which seeth the Son and believe on him may have everlasting life. Some scripture calls it eternal life. And I will raise them up at the last day. May the Lord bless the reading of his word. Jesus, in his earthly ministry, made it clear what his mission was. And what was his mission? His mission is to show mankind the way of God. I love that song that we used to sing. He came from heaven to earth to show the way, from the earth to the cross. My debt he paid, from the cross to the grave, from the grave to the sky. Lord, I lift your name on high. He left heaven to come to the earth. Why did he come to earth? To show us the way of God. Isaiah 30 verse 21 says, Isaiah was ministering and he says, this is the way, walk ye in it. Jesus came to show us the way of God. Why was it necessary for us to know the way of God? And what then is the way of God? What is the way of God? I'll start by saying, by going back to creation, the first thing was that God revealed his way in creation. God revealed his way in creation. Right from the beginning of creation, God has been consistent in his ways and plan. God, like Terry will say, God has no plan B. He was plan A from the beginning. God never had a plan B. And this was why, at the commencement of creation, the first thing that God called to be, do we know it? What did God call to be first? Light. Exactly. He said, let there be light. A man who wants to show you the truth will not hide in darkness. No, that's the truth. If God did not have to hide what his plan is, he doesn't do pass the basket, or what did they do it? Pick from the basket. He made it clear from the beginning. So when he wanted to start, the first thing he called to be was, let there be light. And there was light. And what did he do again? He separated that light from darkness. So there is no variation, there is no in between. There's light and there's darkness. So God separated the light from darkness. John chapter 1, verse 4 to 5 gave us the story, the background of who Jesus was. He said, in him was life. And the life, listen to that word. Listen to that word very carefully. In him was life. And the life was the light of man. In him was life. And the life was the light of man. And the light shineth in darkness, and darkness comprehended not. So the life of man is in the light of God. So God is making it clear that, look, what I'm giving you is in the open. I am not giving you, and I don't have any hidden agenda. It is clear and straightforward. Upon creation, he manifested his authority in mankind and gave man the first authority over all the works of his hand. He then kept a fellowship with man by revealing himself in the garden. The Bible says that in the garden, they heard the voice walking in the garden. And the Bible says they come down to have fellowship with man in the garden. But then, man failed. That was our first failure. And we lost the way of God at that point. God revealed his way, but we lost it. All that man wanted from God, all that God wanted from man, is to acknowledge his glory. Isaiah 42, verse 8. He says, I am the Lord, and that is my name. My glory will I not share with another, neither my praise to graven image. Why do I say that God wanted man to acknowledge his glory? A man planted a farm. A man made the farm to grow. A man had all the necessary things growing in the farm. And he just gave it to you, saying, I'm not asking you for anything. Just tend this farm. Feed, eat, and enjoy the farm. All he's asking you to do is to continue to enjoy his presence. But then, man felt, no, that is not enough. And man walked away from God's presence by looking for what is not there. And that is the first failure. But first thing God did was to bring us into the light of his plan, into the light of his personality, into the light of his glory. God revealed himself in creation. Secondly, God also revealed himself in his name. And I love the Old Testament scripture very much. I do. And I believe that any Christian that doesn't believe in the Old Testament is not actually a Christian. Because there's nothing like New Testament Christian. The New Testament is the fulfillment of the Old Testament. And that is what it is. And in the Old Testament, there was an understanding of God's way in his name. God started by revealing his way to the children of Israel in his name. When Moses first came in contact with God, Moses was looking at a burning fire. I was like, what is this? And then from there, a voice came out. And the voice said, I am that I am. That was the first thing Moses knew. And that was what he carried with him all through the journey. But before Moses, in the Old Testament, there's one constant name that was there, and that was Jehovah. It was a constant name. And God as Jehovah was revealing himself in various ways. When he met with Abraham's need in the wilderness, he said, I am Jehovah Jireh, the great provider. Immediately, he was showing his ways to Abraham, saying, look, if there's any need, I will meet it. Because Abraham was going to make a sacrifice without an animal, but he was going to sacrifice his son. But God made provision of an animal. He revealed his name in various ways. It was Jehovah Shalom, the God of their peace. It was El Shaddai, the Almighty. I love that word, El Shaddai, because when you look at the word Almighty, everything is encompassed in that word. I am Almighty. Almighty to do what? Almighty to break down every barrier. Almighty to fight your battle. Almighty to do things that you cannot do. God was revealing himself in different names. He was Elohim. He was, there are different names that, there's a long list of who Jehovah was. And that was what God was doing. As a journey along in the wilderness, he continued to show himself to them in his name and in different ways. And as a God, as their God, he revealed his mighty ways by provision. He provided manna in the wilderness, water from the rock. By protection from Pharaoh's army, he protected them. He was a pillar of fire and pillar of cloud. He was the God of their battle. He was everything that they wanted. It was a miracle working God. Red Sea parting, clothes and shoes, no one out. And then, these were the Old Testament experience. Then Jesus came. And God revealed himself in Jesus. In the New Testament, Jesus revealed that I am God. Jesus revealed that I am God in John chapter 14, verse 16. He says, I am the way, I am the truth, and I am the life. He said, no man cometh to the Father but by me. Jesus then said to his disciples that if you have seen me, you have seen the Father. Philip was asking him, show us the Father, please. It was an interesting experience with people like Philip, because they were looking at Jesus as a man that was with them. In John chapter 4, they were looking at Jesus as a man that was with them. And in that John chapter 4, there was a lot of teaching about that Jesus brought out there. He started in verse 8. He said, he was saying to, I mean, John chapter 4 from verse 8 said, for his disciples were going, no, this was the woman by the well. I think that's it. No, it was the woman. That was the woman by the well. He said, he was saying to the woman by the well that if you drink of this water that I give you, out of you shall flow rivers of living water. He was telling her that I am the one that you need to concentrate on, because I am the God revealed in flesh. And he was, in diverse ways, he showed himself to the disciples. He was telling them about the great things that he was going to do and what his plan was, what God's plan was. He was just showing them that, look, I have come to show you the way of God. Look nowhere else. It is important to know that there's a great difference between observing God's action and understanding God's ways. Observing God's action. While Jesus was revealing himself as the Son of God and as a way to God and as a way of God, he was also performing miracles. Do you know that many of the people that received Jesus' miracle were not his disciples? Have you noticed that? Many of the people that received miracles were not the disciples. They received miracles and they went away. But the 12 disciples that became apostles were the people that were with Jesus. They were not only knowing the miracles, they were knowing the way of God. They were walking with Jesus all through the journey. And they were understanding God's ways. But what happened in churches today? Christianity today has become people that observe God's action, the miracle, the healing, the blessing. And that seems to be the line of prayer as well. Father, bless me. Father, do this. Father, do that. That seems to be what we do seek for. And we just become like, in the Old Testament, like the children of Israel and Moses. Psalm 103 verse 7 made us understand that he made his way known to Moses, his heart, to the children of Israel. So the children of Israel could only understand that water can come out of the rock. Manna can come from heaven. But they did not know when God was giving Moses those instructions as to how those mannas and waters would come. They did not come closer to God to know the personality of God. They did not know that God had already ordained that he had a plan and purpose for them. Even though Moses was telling them, they did not have the understanding because they did not know the way of God. They only had an understanding of the God that can do miracles. When they were hungry and they, oh, we've been eating all this manna from heaven, this food that we don't know anything about, we've been eating, we want meat. That's all they could ask for. But Moses knew how to talk to God and say, God, they want meat. God, can you provide meat? Because he knows the way of God. He knows the understanding of God. The only time Moses came out of the way of understanding the will of God was when Moses became angry. Instead of him to speak to the rock, he hit the rock. That is one of the things that you see as a difference. He knows the way of God. He knows that all that God says, he will have to do. He did not wait on God just for miracle. He waited on God to understand who God is. Jesus, John 3:16, which we all know, says, "For God so loved the world that he gave the world his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life." And Jesus' divine everlasting life in John 17, verse 3, is as to knowing the only true God and Jesus whom God has sent. Knowing is not receiving. It's not receiving the miracle that Jesus came to do. It is the knowledge of God. It is seeking to have the knowledge of God. In essence, God's ways is only known in the old. In essence, what we're saying is that God's ways is known in the Old Testament by creation, by his name, and exclusively to people like Moses. But you and I, today, have a great opportunity. We have a great opportunity to be in Christ. And if any man be in Christ, is a new creature. All things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. If any man be in Christ, he's put on Christ. Is a new gap. Is a new life. And when you know Christ, you basically know God. Because Christ came to show us the way of God. He says, like I said in Isaiah 30 verse 21, this is the way, walk in it. That's what Christ came to do. He did not come to do any other thing than to show us that this is the way of God, you need to walk in it. So through Jesus Christ, we now know that God is kind, one of his ways. His act of kindness that he showed in creation. We now also know that God is great. Philippians 2, verse 9 to 11, that he has given him a name above every other name, that his name, every knee must bow. We now know that God is close and wants a relationship, just as he had in the Garden of Eden. John 10, verse 30 says, "My Father and I are one. And as we are one, he also wants us to be one with him." And 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 16 says, "For all those that are in Christ, they will have the mind of Christ." For you to know the way of God, you must seek him. Because the scripture says that it's only those that seek him that will find him. And it brings me to Exodus 33, verse 13, Moses' prayer. What did Moses pray for? In Exodus 3, verse 13, Moses said, "If I find favor in your sight, let me know your way, that I may know you, so that I may find favor in your sight. Let me know your way." How do you pray? What do you ask of God? Do you just pray for miracle? Do you pray for healing? Or do you pray for knowledge? Solomon, in the Old Testament, God gave him an option. He told him, "As a king, what do you want me to do?" What did Solomon ask of God? Wisdom. He asked God only for wisdom. "Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all other things shall be added unto you." Seek ye first the kingdom of God. Solomon asked for wisdom, and God blessed him with every other thing. Wealth, that the Bible says that there is no king as rich as Solomon. He had wisdom and wealth. Moses did not seek for miracle. He was seeking after the knowledge of God.
It is this knowledge that sets him aside for leadership. As Christians, what are we seeking for? Why do we come to church? Why do we know God? Why do we go for fellowship? Are we going there to pray for just miracles, for our daily bread, for just things that we'll get? Or are we going there to know God? Because when we know God, every other thing will be added unto us. The Bible says, those that know their God shall do exploit. Those that know their God. So basically, all these other things that you're seeking for are exploits. The first thing you need to do is to know God. The first thing you need in life is to know God. I love David's prayer in Psalm 51, verse 13. He says that I may teach people, I may teach transgressors the way of the Lord. He was asking God, let me just turn to that quickly. Psalm 51, verse 13. Is a prayer of repentance from David. And one of the things he said there that is interesting was this. He said, then I will teach, verse 12 says, restore unto me the joy of your salvation, and renew the right spirit, return to me the joy of salvation, and uphold me with thy free spirit. Then, look at this. Then I will teach transgressors thy ways, and sinners shall be converted unto you. So David was not asking for forgiveness so that he can make himself righteous. He was asking for forgiveness so that he can teach other people the way of God. He can teach transgressors the way of God. He was making it clear there that, look, my life is to serve you. The major difference that Jesus brought in the knowledge of the will of God, of the will of the Lord open to all of us, is now that the Holy Spirit now revealed, the Holy Spirit was revealed to teach us everything about the will of the Lord. That is one thing that the Old Testament never had. The Holy Spirit came in to teach us the will of the Lord. But first, before we get to that point, we must have a desire to seek the way of the Lord. The desire must be there. The hunger must be there. It is not the hunger for signs and wonders. It's the hunger for knowing God. Because signs and wonders will follow once you know God. Acts chapter 18, verse 24 tells us about a man who, his name is Apollos. He has a knowledge, but his knowledge was limited. How was his knowledge limited? Because the Holy Spirit was not there at that point in his life. He only knew about the baptism of John. He did not know the way of God that Christ has brought to us. And as a result, he was limited in the way he was sharing the way of God. He was limited in his knowledge. And as Christians, we could be in that same position, you know. We could be limited in our knowledge of God if we don't allow the Holy Spirit to take control of us. But when he met, after he came to the knowledge of Jesus, his ministration changed, grew. He joined the likes of Paul to start ministering God. And he started manifesting God. What am I saying this morning? What I'm saying to us this morning is that if we want to manifest God, we need to seek first the kingdom of God. We need to know the way of God. And knowing the way of God is by coming to the knowledge of the person of Jesus Christ. It's by giving ourselves, immersing ourselves into studying his word. It's by immersing ourselves into understanding who God is. And then we can then be in a position to share God to the world. And how do we know who God is? Jesus said that when I go, I will send the comforter to you who will teach you everything about myself. That's what Jesus said. I will send you the comforter who will teach you everything about myself. You need the Holy Spirit because your academic knowledge will not show you the way of God. Your brilliant oratorial skill will not show you the way of God. In my own growing up days, the people that ministered, and if you read Azusa and the Azusa Azuri's revival, you see that those people that were preaching God were not even educated. Some of them don't even know how to read or write, but they had the Spirit interpreting the word in their heart. I grew up in an environment where you don't need education to minister God. But these days, we have taught, we now want to teach God with human knowledge. We want to tell people about God with human knowledge. But faith is the substance of things hoped for, evidence of things not seen. Your human knowledge is not enough. You need the Holy Spirit to interpret God to you. Your ability, your skills to speak is not enough. You need the Holy Spirit to teach you and to prepare you for the manifestation of God. The world is waiting for this. The world is waiting for you and me. The world is eagerly waiting. Maybe the reason why the world is going through what it's going through now is because you and I have not come to that point in God where we have the boldness to speak God in truth and in spirit. Maybe we are not in that position yet where we got to that point where we are able to face the battle of the devil with the spiritual hammer that God has given us. God is calling you and I now to manifest his way to the world. You've had all that is going on. You've seen all that is going on. And no other person is going to do it. And you're not going to sit in church and do it. I keep saying that. We need now to start manifesting God to the world. But we need to understand the way of God. We need to wait on God to teach us his way. We need the Holy Spirit to expand God in our heart. And once the Holy Spirit comes into our heart, we'll just be like Paul's experience. Paul was eager to share God to everyone that he met. He was eager to tell everyone. He was eager to showcase God to everyone. This morning, I want to encourage us. I want to admonish us that the world is waiting for the manifestation of the sons of God. And you and I that have been called out are the sons of God. So if we are not manifesting God, then there's something wrong with our calling. If we're not manifesting God, there's something wrong with our calling. We can set out a barbecue stand on Saturday and not touch any heart. But that's not the whole purpose. As a church, our purpose is to reach out and let people know the love of God that brought salvation to us. Our job is to tell the world that there is an alternative to the world problem. And that alternative is Jesus Christ. Our job is to tell people that there is a program that has been written for the way the world should run. Not the constitution, not the laws, not the bylaws, but the scripture. The law is there. And I say this because it pains my heart that the law was taken out of the scripture. I practice law every day. And when I read some of these things, I know that the scripture is embedded in, is evidence in what I read. But how we then interpret it has now changed from what the scripture says. I want to encourage us. We now have the responsibility to let the world know that there's joy in the word of God. There's joy in the scripture that we hold. We don't need to carry it. It is not just a sword of swinging. It is the word of God unto salvation. And the world needs to be saved. The world needs to get to the knowledge of who the Savior is. And if you and I are not showing the world, then we are not manifesting God. God bless us this morning. Let's just bow our heads in prayer. Let's just pray this morning. Just tell God, you're not the only one. Where have I failed, God? I've failed you in many ways, in the ways I've dealt with your word, in the ways I've manifested yourself. Maybe I've not come to the knowledge. Maybe I've derailed from my first love, which is you. Just speak to God this morning. Just speak to God this morning.
Chorus we were singing.